Today on The Journey.
If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work.
You are an architect. Each day you design and build a life in front of God and others. The question is, what do you build it with? And how does your structure impact the community around you? Today, Ron Moore shares construction standards that will ensure the integrity of your spiritual neighborhood and provide awards that will never fade. First, a word about Ron's digital booklet called Vital Signs. It's a 60-day checkup on your and your church's spiritual health. It's available for a donation of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Unity, displayed in spiritual maturity, on the journey.
Okay, I want to start today with a question. What motivates you in your spiritual journey? What is it that drives you? I want you to think about that as you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're working our way through the study of Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. And in this study, Paul is talking about the vital signs of the church, the life signs of a church. The church in Corinth had its issues, like every church does. He's going to talk to them later on about freedom, what it means to live in Christian freedom, because they had some issues with that. He's going to talk to them about worship, because they had some issues with that. But he begins by hitting this critical issue of unity. Because Paul knows, if we don't do this thing together, we're not doing it the way Jesus wants us to do it. And the result is we're not going to make any impact in the world around us. And we're going to see today, unity is displayed in spiritual maturity. So take your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now, chapter 3, Paul addresses the Corinthians. It's not going to be very flattering to them. Listen to what he says. Brothers, by the way, that's generic, brothers and sisters. So he's addressing believers. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. Paul says, I would love to address you as spiritual, as those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. I'd love to do that. You know what? But I can't. Because when I watch the way you live more like unbelievers. You are mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. Paul says, you know, when you were a new believer, you needed milk, just like babies need milk. It wasn't a problem then. You needed the elementary basic teachings of Scripture, stuff for beginners. But the problem is, you're still not ready for it after all these years. You still can't handle solid food. You still need a bottle. Years as a Christian does not automatically make you mature. Don't think that just because you've been a Christian for 20 years, you're a mature believer. You may not be. If you have done nothing to grow, if you're still needing the basic stuff, if you still can't handle the deeper, richer doctrines of solid food, if you're still stumbling on the person of God, the basics of it, the person of Christ, don't ever think that just because you've been a Christian a long time, that automatically makes you mature. Notice the behavior that the Corinthians are demonstrating that causes Paul to say they're immature. When I first read this, I want him to lay out some huge sin, right? And the Corinthian church had its big sins. But notice what he says. You're still worldly, for since there is what? Jealousy and what? Quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Rhetorical question. Yeah, you are. Are you not acting like mere men? You see, that's what children do. Children get jealous because someone else is playing with their toys. Children fight and quarrel over little things. And so Paul's saying, I don't care, you've been a Christian for years and years. If you're involved in jealousy and you're involved in quarreling, you're acting like a little baby. Now, Paul says here in verse 4, for one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Earlier, he has said that some even said, I follow Peter. And the super spiritual ones, as Paul kind of puts it this way, and they say in spiritual smugness, well, you know what? I just follow Jesus. I'm in a spiritual group. We have the spiritual traditions. We have the spiritual styles. Now, it's bad enough if those little factions actually believe that. But in the Corinthian church, they were arguing and demonstrating jealousy and lashing out against one another. The church is the body of Christ. And Paul had no patience with people or groups that cause divisions. Divisiveness is spread by the spiritually immature, no matter how long you've been a Christian. Flip side, unity is displayed in spiritual maturity. Look at verse 5. What after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. Oh, now we're getting back to this motivation question, aren't we? What's that motivation? The man who plants and the man who waters has one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Paul says that each person has a part to play, and when they play that part well, they're going to be rewarded. Said another way, God will reward people according to their spiritual maturity that they display. While on earth, men and women will do their part in the body, and spiritual maturity will be what unites the church. Now, in the remainder of this passage, Paul puts forth a doctrine that we don't talk a lot about, but I think is the answer to the question, what is your motivation? What drives you to live the Christian life? Now, I have truly contemplated this over the years, and over the past few years even more, and I've talked to some of you about this, as we think, what motivates people? Ministries don't. Those are just cool things for equipping and employing and engaging. But what motivates people to grow? What motivates people to use their job as a front to share the message of Christ? What motivates people to make a spiritual impact? And I've challenged my own self on this. What motivates me? And I'm being honest with you. I wonder sometime, I've thought, Lord, if I wasn't preaching every Sunday, would I be as motivated to serve you? So what's your motivation? And let me ask you one other question before we go through this. Paul's talking to believers here. Why not just be satisfied with baby food? You're going to go to heaven. So why not just kind of have one foot in the world? You know, sin is fun for a season. And one foot in spiritual things. You can come to church and put the show here, and then you can do whatever you want in the world. Why not just do that? The believer's going to heaven. We truly believe that. If you trust it in Christ, you're a child of God. What's the motivation? Well, here's the answer. One day, every believer is going to stand before Jesus and give an account of everything we've done. Now, that's going to be a little bit more serious than accountability group. Every word, every action, every activity, the way we used our time, the way we used our money, the way we used our resources, and Jesus himself will evaluate it. Look at verse 13. His work, the believer's work, will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each man's work. The day will bring it to light. Now, Paul just puts forth the day, like everyone knows what it means, and his audience did. But just as a reminder, if you don't know what it means, he explains it in his second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He summarizes it there and he fleshes it out here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him, the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The word judgment seat is the Greek word bema. And in Paul's day, every city of any size, every significant city had a bema. If you lived in Corinth, you walked down a street, there were colonnades on either side, and at the end of that was bema with a mountain behind. And the bema seat was for this. The bema seat was for military and civil review. When an army came back from a victorious battle, they were paraded down that street before the bema seat, and they were given their praise and accolades and honor and reward at the bema seat. Also, there were two big games back in those times, the Olympics, and the other one was the Isthmus Games that were played right there in Corinth. And so the winners of the Isthmian Games would parade down the street, and they would get their reward right there at the bema seat. And so Paul uses that bema seat to tell the Corinthians and us that we're going to stand one day at that review. Now, I want to say this very clearly. Jesus is going to review us there, but he will not review our sins. Our sins are taken care of. Jesus paid for our sins at the cross. There's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. When we appear before the bema seat, it's not about our sins. That's for the great white throne judgment. You don't want to be there. But the bema seat is where our works are judged. Look at 10 and 11. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one of you should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, I came in as, the word is, expert builder, architect. I came in and I laid the foundation. You can't change the foundation. The foundation is Christ. Can't change it, but you can build on it. And you can use different types of material to build on it as a Christian. Look at verse 12. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. So Paul uses this figure of speech, silver, gold, costly stones. Those would be the good things we do. Those would be the things we do that have eternal value. And then he uses wood, hay, and straw for works believers do. It's not sin. It's just the worthless things we do that's not going to stand the test. And the figure of speech here is, as we stand before God, the fire comes. And what happens when the fire comes to the stone and the gold and the silver? What's fire do to that? It just refines it, doesn't it? Makes it even better. Well, what's fire do to wood, hay, and straw? It's gone. So you and I are going to stand before Christ at the judgment seat. And we're going to be evaluated for our works. Look at verse 14. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the fire. Now, verse 15 is not a verse describing purgatory. It is describing a believer who makes it into heaven like everybody else by the grace of God, by the work of Christ. But he makes it barely. He makes it like one who got saved from a burning building, just barely. And as he enters heaven, he's out, he's safe, he's in heaven, but he smells like smoke. Now in heaven, there are no tears, there's no sadness, there's no jealousy, there's no envy, there's no quarreling. But from Scripture, from the words of Christ, from the words of Paul, this is not the way you want to live your life and enter heaven, just barely, do you? On the other hand, look at verse 14. If what he has built survives, if you've built with the right material, he will receive his reward. So let's think about that a little bit. In the time we have left, and it's not much, I'm going to go through this quickly. From Scripture, what will we be rewarded for? Can't go through everything, but let me give you some things that Scripture says we're going to be rewarded for in heaven. By the way, I don't know what these rewards are going to look like, but there's going to be some type of reward in heaven. Maybe it's more responsibility over something. Don't know what it is. No one's going to be jealous that you have it, but there are going to be rewards in heaven. That's another sermon. But here's some things that will bring about reward. Number one, offstage acts of service. This is the first one I want to put forth. Listen to this. Jesus says, anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet, he will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man just because he's a righteous man, he'll receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. I love that because it's not the onstage stuff there, is it? It's just giving a cup of cold water and no one else sees it. But your attitude sincerely is honoring God by that. It's the backstage stuff that no one else sees. Sometimes we think, oh, someone's going to get a reward because they're up front. No. God looks at the heart. Second one is enduring temptation. Offstage acts of service and then enduring temptation. James chapter 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial because when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised. Some of you guys are going through some tremendous temptation. Some of you are about to cave. You cave and you're building with straw and hay and wood and it's going to be burned up. It will not stand the test. You're not going to get well done, good and faithful servant. But you endure that temptation, as tough as it is, and you're going to hear, well done. Following hard after God. Here's one. Just desiring to follow hard after God. Hebrews 11:6. The end of it says, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Evaluate your life. Is it about earnestly seeking God? You'll be rewarded for that. That's building with precious stones and gold and silver. Here's one, persecution and death for Christ. Revelation 2:10, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Work of faithful elders. I want to remind the elders, you guys put in a ton of time and not always a lot of thanks. But God sees your work. And he says, when the chief shepherd appears, he will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. 1 Peter 5:1-4. Living with an eternal perspective. Some people live for the moment. They live for the day. Their life is defined by the temporal stuff around them. But the person who builds with precious stones and gold and silver, they have an eternal perspective. They realize this world is not it. They want to invest for eternity. 2 Timothy 4:7-8, Paul says that he's fought the good fight, and those who long for his appearing, they will be rewarded. Here's one, telling others about Jesus. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, Paul says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown, in which you will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you, you Thessalonians? You're going to be my reward in heaven. And so we can say, hey, I just planted or I just watered. God made it grow. But I had a part in that person coming to Christ. That's going to be one of the greatest rewards, isn't it? Spiritual management of abilities, resources, and time. Your time matters to God. Your money matters to God. Your resources and your abilities matter to God. 1 Corinthians 4:1-5. I won't take time to read it, but it says, when God entrusts something to you, you be faithful with it. And I promise you this, if you've invested in eternity, when you invest in the work of a church or when you invest in the work of a ministry, you're investing in eternity. That is gold, silver, and precious stones. But I promise you this, if you carry your dollar bills or checkbook or stocks and bonds or papers with you to the judgment seat of Christ, I can promise you it's not going to last the fire. But what are you going to do with it? Here's one, family. There are many verses in Scripture that point to the importance of marriage and family. And man, I believe when you stand up there before that Bema seat, that assessment time, and you're standing husbands with your wife, or wives are standing with your husband, and you can say, hey, you know, well, we've not been perfect. We've had our struggles. But I tell you this, here we've been 30 years together. Standing before God. Here we've been 40, 50 years. Man, I know Jesus is going to say, well done. That's the way you do it. And I know you can't save your kids. Man, I know. I wish we could. But when our kids are up there with us, man, that's going to be a great reward. Now, real quick, is it possible to do something on earth that deserves a reward but then do something else on earth that disqualifies you from it. Not from heaven, you're a believer. Talking rewards. 2 John 1, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, no, I beat my body and make it a slave, using the hyperbole of spiritual discipline, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Man, how many people have done it well for a lot of years and then blown it at the end? And Paul's one of them who you can see in his writings, he is fearful of that. So don't think because you've been a believer for 30 years, you can start sliding home. You are to work till your last breath, building with gold and silver and costly stones. I never see the word retirement regarding the spiritual life. If you find it, let me know. Here's a bottom line. Everything that has been accomplished in God's power and for His glory will survive. Everything you've done for yourself, spent on yourself, used for yourself, will be burned up. And you're going to stand right there. When a church full of people who understand what's at stake and who live not like self-centered little infants desiring just what they want, the style they want, the tradition they want, everything they want, and they give care to others who are infants and they grow up and instead of wanting things themselves, they start caring for people around them. When a church is filled with people who are being equipped for spiritual growth and employed for spiritual impact, when people understand that one day we're going to stand before Christ at the Bema Seat and He will judge what we have done for eternity and what we've done for ourselves, that starts today. What I do today is going to be judged then. And will it be worthless or worthy of eternity? I leave you with this verse, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Jesus says this, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to everyone according to what he has done.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Unity, freedom, and worship are critical measures of the Christian church. Our spiritual health or affliction is proved by how we demonstrate these three virtues. In his PDF devotional titled Vital Signs, Ron Moore offers a checkup for you and your congregation. Its 60 days of spiritual challenges chart the fragile nature of unity, the delicate use of our freedom in Christ, and the correct expression of public worship. A downloadable copy of Vital Signs is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Well, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We have been talking about unity in the body, and now we're going to talk about the second part of this aspect of a vital church, and that is freedom and responsibility in the body. Now, I want to make sure we understand what we're talking about. There are, in Scripture, do's and don'ts. There are specific instructions. These are not up for debate. Black and white. Things you should do and things you should not do. They are in Scripture. Those are not freedom in Christ areas. So you have do's and you have don'ts. But you also have some stuff in between. They're not really a do or a don't. You might call them a gray area. And among Christians, there's a lot of debate about these things. Now, I've never had any person in the church come and talk to me about whether or not they should eat meat offered to idols. So that's not really an issue today. So before we get started in this, let's just think about what are some of those gray areas? What are some of those freedom in Christ areas that we deal with today?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to get your copy of Ron's PDF devotional titled Vital Signs. It offers a spiritual checkup for you and your congregation. Vital Signs is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our online worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. Biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.